Welcome to the Cannabis Connection. I'm your host, Christopher Carr. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Santa Cruz Cannabis Talk Radio. I am very excited for the show today. I hope you had a beautiful week in beautiful sunny Santa Cruz. It's becoming a nice marine layer. It's getting to that time of the year where it gets so hot and then we get nature's air conditioning coming in at the end of the day. It's very, very blessed weather. My guest is my dear friend Todd I of Earth Rhythm in Fuego Family Farms. Earth Rhythm is a Santa Cruz based cultivators. They are established in 2018. They are focused on quality, small batch, soil grown, loved up cannabis, working with the best genetics and community to provide the best cannabis to the people. And Fuego Family Farms, Santa Cruz cannabis cultivators in living soils with the finest genetics, a small collaborative of Santa Cruz cannabis farmers who have grown, bred, loved, consumed cannabis for most of their lives. So many plants, so many miracles, so many prayers, and they have meticulously developed a system of cultivation and care that brings each plant to its full potential, featuring exotic cultivars that will blow you away. Truly a Santa Cruz group, and in true Friday fashion, we're going to hold the space for our dear friend to arrive. What I will say, he's also a part of an amazing group called Sound Reasoning. Very special group. We played with them. My group Ancestry was facilitating the One Drop Wednesday at the Felton Music Hall. We're actually single and we want to mingle. We have an opportunity to take One Drop Wednesday out into the community. I just spoke about this yesterday on KBCZ 89.3 FM on the Feltopia show, Drive Time show with Kevco and Lori. But very, very special networking and community, Santa Cruz music community scene, especially for players, the roots players of roots music, reggae music, ska, dance hall. We usually feature a new formula is the band jam formula, where we have an opener band and then the house house band, and then we play open jams, curated open jams for the rest of the evening. So I'm just bigging up Sound Reasoning and how much fun we had together. Yeah, give thanks. And we had Jaalin from San Diego. So much fun. Go ahead, have a seat right here, brother. Yeah, that's your whole station. Yeah, welcome. But I was just giving them the context of not only our love for the plant, but our love for the music and keeping things together. Yeah, you can pull that arm real close to you.
Sure, sure.
Ooh, you sound great.
Oh, give thanks.
Give thanks. So welcome, Todd, to the show.
Greetings. It's really good to be here, Chris.
Yes, sure. I know. A long time coming. We're grateful to have you and to be present together. Yeah, it's righteous. Yes. You made it. Woo. Oh, you're victorious.
The outside forces of Santa Cruz traffic are real.
Ooh, Fridays. Yeah. Fridays and summer. It's days. Kind of, it's becoming, yeah, it's. I sense it. We come down from Bonnie Doon and shoot, that's a gauntlet on High Street, whatnot, Mission Street. Yeah. So every week, it is a labor of love, but yeah, we made it.
We have a beautiful community. If you look around while we're doing it, we're in a beautiful place.
We're
doing good things.
Blessed, that's
we
right.
We get there, we do it.
That's right. Yeah.
Stay present. On my way home, here we are, discussing and reasoning on the beautiful plant we love.
That's right. Yeah. So maybe that's a great place to start. Where did you develop this relationship with the sacred plant?
Gosh, cannabis has been in my entire adult life.
And
growing up hood.
Yes.
I grew up down in Long Beach in a more urban environment, and there were a lot of things everywhere.
Long Beach, that's a pretty badass spot.
Yeah, it's very different,
than
Santa Cruz.
Some good music.
Great music. I grew up learning to be a musician down there.
And, nice.
That was a lot of my learning and upbringing, a lot of things, culture, music, the streets, all those things.
Yeah, that's right.
Deadhead at an early age, and that's where cannabis kind of linked in with me. It was in like Bob Marley, reggae, and the Grateful Dead brought cannabis right to the forefront of my life really early on.
Dead Tour was the way a lot of these powerful cultivars were circulated throughout the whole,
you know, so like my whole life I've been able to connect and being one of the younger versions of that group that actually saw Jerry and
amazing
to escape, not escape, but to enjoy learning who we are together and how to cultivate that more now time existence of being living, dancing, art breathing humans that are capable of doing anything, you know?
That's important. The
cannabis is a huge part of that.
It is, absolutely. It brings people together.
I saw a lot of the great strains that we all still battle over who had them and where they came from, like the Cam Dog and the different diesels and all these things and the blueberry. And there was a guy in some bus on tour, like, you go to that bus, he's got the blueberry over there, and you go find that guy, and you know, you'd see people bring out these champion colas out on the lot and show you, this is what we've got, 100 pounds of sitting right over there.
Nice.
Who's going for it?
Yeah.
It was a wild time.
Get it while it lasts. Allegedly.
You know, I was able to witness that in my youth.
To bear witness at your, that's a powerful thing. Between so many conversations we've had, the consistent thread is Jerry and the Dead Tour.
I love music, and everyone that knows me and sees me in like
high
fashion between like between the roots reggae and the dancehall dubby styles of our whole reggae community and culture to the Dead scene to like a lot of that is just has the same thing of like a good human that believes in like these very basic things like coming together. Usually it's food and warmth and sharing of things like cannabis that brings us together. And that's where I noticed that while I'm doing all these things and getting to a show or going to where I'm going and playing music, like cannabis really helps me, you know, get in tune with myself and get in tune with the people and the things around me. It makes my senses more available to be the best version of me and bring that to the table with whoever or whatever I'm doing. You know, it's always been that way for me. You know, and I don't know if everyone has that relationship, but for me, it's like it's a spiritual thing. It's like vitamin M. It's a physical thing that makes me feel better. It's a mental thing that makes me feel better. People go, oh, you get stoned, you get weird. I get stoned, I get alert, correct, positive, and
tapped
ready
in.
Tapped in with the source and ready to go greet my day in a good way.
Amen. Well, this is gospel. Give thanks for that.
It's different for
everyone. Different for everyone. And that's the main thing is it's not a panacea. It's maybe not for everyone, but for some people, it is powerful medicine. It's powerful medicine. And one positive thing of a post-Prop 64 era is more access for for people to be outspoken, to explore, and hopefully this process of destigmatization.
Yeah, I'm in it for the plant, man.
I'm a plant man. For the love of the plant.
I listen to the plant. The plant and I have a relationship. We talk to
each other. Let's talk about that. You know,
like when I was, you asked where it started there, you know, but then I realized like, I was in a unique microcosm. Long Beach was in a port area where all of the cannabises were coming in. You were in one of the biggest ports in the world. So, you know, when I was young growing up there and we're in that area of a big urban center, you know, not only do you have the Mexican weed and the sexy Mexi weed, but you have like the Thai stick coming in and the, the different things of the different boats. And like you have real like weed from different places meeting right there in a port city like you do up here in Oakland and the Bay Area. We do, you know.
Yeah.
I extracted myself out of that urban environment and up to here for
to the Bay. Yeah, for college. Oh, Santa Cruz. So you came up to Santa Cruz specifically for college.
I did. I knew I was going to live here from the time I was 13.
Good for you. I kind of did too.
This is my home, and like eventually when I got to mom's and dad's house. And I did it. Like, I showed up. Dead Tour was still going. I started going to college, did some Dead Tour, did some college, went through all those things that helped create who I am, which really is like a foodie musician, cannabis ganja man. You
know, yes, I
the whole time.
Yeah, that. Steward of the plant, steward of the flame.
And I learned that, like, from a young age, like I wanted to share it. I was like, this is great for me. Have you tried this to all my young friends? And then like, later on, it's like those of us that were into it was like, oh, have you tried this one? Like really getting into the way the different feels and the different parts of the cannabis medicine. And then I dove deeper and like going, oh, it's not just about smoking it. And what's all this Rastafarian thing about? And like, I just went deep, you know,
Amen.
Like, what did it mean to me? And the plant made a lot of connections in my own brain and in my world that, you know, we're really great. You know, a lot of it was also, you know, a lot of interesting wild stuff going on as I was growing up and becoming an adult, and cannabis was changing and it was different. It was very uncool to be involved in cannabis pre-medical days.
Yeah.
It was very dangerous.
Dangerous. Cool.
But to me, in my whole romanticized version of what had happened before us, like, I was reading, like, all the Beatnik books and On the Road and the Grateful Dead experience. I'm like, that's me.
Cool.
And I'm like,
yeah,
that's still possible. Okay, right. I'm like, I'm going to go up into the woods and go travel around and find that stuff. Cause,
wow.
And cannabis rooted that all through my whole life to the point where I didn't realize it at the time, you know, but, like, I was learning and holding the archive for how that whole shift happened for us. And the people before us, the forefathers of, like, and mothers of bringing those seeds dangerously across during war times and all times, coming to places to come cultivate different things from different parts of the earth, mostly here in Northern California is my experience where I know.
Yeah, it's that's incredible. What I've learned.
It's incredible. Now I look back at all the different wizards of plant medicine and of not just cannabis, but other ones that are all up in these beautiful Appalachia of Northern California and other places in the world where it can thrive.
That's right.
And the people have enough time and space and grace in their lives to live on the land and do that thing, man.
Like, yeah,
I grew up learning from a lot of people up on the mountains up north.
Yeah,
coming between here the hill. And there all the time, back and forth. That it was incredibly wild and beautiful, dangerous experience to learn how important it was and why were you doing that? Because the medicine is so important.
Amen.
It's not about the money. It's not that like you can make money out of it. It's so important to do this thing that we're all called to do, to grow this plant that we have a connection with, that we know is part of helping heal us, heal the planet, bring us together.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's a truly, truly labor of love, but a calling. Kind of like music is like that.
Yeah.
You feel drawn and called to play and to...
And like you make a tune or
take it on
a rhythm, you know, like... Like me and my crew, we're pheno hunters. We like to go find old things, new things, mix things together, do genetics work, do other people's genetics work, see them through. They go, you know, it'd be cool. You like it like that. Let's try this, you know. So we are really doing something that, like, you know, in music world, I would call us, like, you know, producers. You know, we're not trying to be superstars. We're trying to just make the beats and make the sauce and put it out there and listen to it and let other people listen to it and put it back together again and see how does that feel? How's it sound?
Yeah, amen. Yeah. And you mentioned pheno hunting and I mean, that's beautiful because I feel like there's been a saturation of a narrowing of the color wheel of the genetics and in some ways I think I mean, it's coming. We've changed quite a bit from the Dead Tour era, and maybe we could speak a little bit to that of like that progression of like Prop 215 into where we are now, but in how the flowers have changed.
Oh yeah, I feel like back in the day, everyone that was smoking weed was an educated smoker, like that, or turned on to it and had someone that was an uncle or a cousin or someone in the tribe that was like, or an auntie or whatever. Yeah. Someone was there that knew about it and was like, okay, kid, you're one of the, you like it. Let's get you on the right track, you know? It's not like people are trying to hide your good time from you in the cannabis experience, I don't think, you know? If you're in, you're in. But it, like I said, it was, like, kind of shady back then. It was dangerous. You know, it was a real problem. Like, you could lose your life, your livelihood, your freedom, all these things. Still possible today, you know? But back then, it was really, really different, you know? And then 215 happened, and in my experience, I was young, you know? That was me when I was, like, coming out of teenager into my 20s. Super wild. Super on board with the whole thing, you know, and that's where I feel like we really got delineated and everyone got a chance to really flesh out their art and craft and feel a little less hunted,
nice.
A little more capable of doing what they're doing and knowing that maybe they'll be able to be safe a little bit, you know, and secure, and the ability to work with your plant that you love and live your life and
that's right.
Try to take a conscious existence forward.
Forward.
To the rest of the world from you and yourself.
Yeah.
And you saw a lot of mom and pops making all sorts of products. And we weren't that worried about quality control because we're all controlling ourselves. We weren't going and necessarily lab testing because we were the scientists doing the lab work ourselves and trusted our methods and our processes that all organic people, or not organic, I'll say just all agriculture people have followed for generations and millennia on this planet.
And using what we grew... Like, that was a lot of the quality control was, there was quality control because we would smoke our work.
Natural selection of the work that we're choosing to do to provide this medicine for ourselves and our families and beyond. Yes. And then also, like, to this day, we grow the medicine that we want to smoke, that I want to give to my grandmother if she were alive, to my adult child to smoke, you know, if they want to smoke
or yeah.
if they want to eat. I want to find the right vehicle of access for this medicine for whatever it is you think it can do for you or know it does for you or could. I want you to have the best possible way to do that. And so do every other good farmer of a good that makes a good.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned food. You mentioned food, too, and that's something that's really important is to full circle and closing the loop.
Yes.
Right? Sir. Yeah. And knowing where your food comes from, especially for a good chef. I feel like I love to watch local chefs and the relationship with like Pajaro Pastures or these different. Yeah. Just we're blessed in this community because a lot of the Santa Cruz story has a lot of amazing Santa Cruz history, Home of the Haze, but a lot of organic food history, Chadwick Gardens. And that's, it's beautiful because it is all very interwoven into this cultural fabric of this greater 831.
Yeah, you gave me goosebumps on that one. Like, I also, like, Earth Rhythm Farm, like, one of the canvas farms, the one that Jacob and I have, that one was originally a food farm. Earth Rhythm Farm was a food farm here in town that my wife Julia and I started back in,
like, I love
2000 that. And, what, 11-ish. I was living on the old, like, last little bit of the Kinsley estate. The Kinsleys were all of Live Oak. They were the first homesteaders.
Cool.
When we came in and usurped this part of California from Mexico and stuff, you know, like they said, we're here and this is mine.
This is our spot.
And it was like all the way to the ocean and all the way back.
Man, you're educating me. I had no idea.
Of Live Oak. And this is a long time
ago. What an amazing ranch for them.
And these people were probably some of the hardest working people that didn't die on the prairie, made it all the way across, came
super
here,
hard.
Was really nice.
Yeah.
Had a bunch of people they were working with. And when it became theirs, like, they had a bunch of kids. And, like, this is 1800s, right? And none of those kids were productive. That's what I've heard from the story of the old-timer that eventually bought that property. Like, we were living on the last 5 acres of what used to be all one piece of land that was all of Live Oak.
So
and
cool.
And it's still the way it was.
No way.
With the old, like, built in the 1800s out of the beautifully milled redwood by hand.
Gorgeous.
Big old house. And we lived in the little shack where the farmer quarters and the slaves quarters were.
Gotcha.
You know? And, like, or I'll say the indentured servants quarters, whatever it is, you know, the person that has to take care of the land. And when we moved in there, it was hard to get into that place. The guy's an old-timer that loved that place. He was an old hippie that ran it as a farm. And most organic food farmers have run through this place as a trial ground when they're before they go on to somewhere else. Like, most of the people at the farmer's market have farmed at this place.
Whoa.
Like, when we started farming there, like, I just wanted to prove to myself that I could provide for more than my family and take care of 5 acres. It was my own personal mission to go, okay, I landed in this spot, and there was a great farmer there that was farming organic vegetables, selling them to Chaminade, where he was the bartender, and worked out this whole dynamic of doing that, and then told me, I'm going to leave. I want a bigger farm, and you better help me figure out who's going to be the farmer, because, like, you're going to have to deal with them being here around your house.
Because you're living here.
All day, all around your little house that you love living in. And I was like, gosh. Because I was growing my own little garden.
Yeah.
Thing. And I was okay, we got to figure this out. Who's going to be the farmer? Who's going to be the farmer?
I'm going to work every
day all the time. I'm the farmer.
Yeah, good for you.
And so I took
full
that
circle
on,
there.
Worked on it right in that time. I had my own incidents of, like, I was a roofer and I shattered my heel, and then I had to learn to walk again. So I learned to walk again in food farm at the same time for more than myself.
Yeah.
And so
That's
I had 88 different kinds of heirloom vegetables growing in our fields we were turning over in the greenhouse and all the things we were doing. And so that parlayed into me, like, going into bigger cannabis projects than I'd ever done before.
Yeah.
Instead of doing support crew up to the mountains up north and living here with my family growing up, you know, I have a daughter who's older and I have a son that's younger. And so, like, I've been always trying to do family man and be in this wild world.
Yeah, cannabis is not the most conventional family man livelihood.
Music, world of things.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of stuff that's kind of outside the box.
Yeah, it is.
But that food farming thing you're talking about, like, that's what made me the best cannabis farmer I could ever be, was really diversifying out and going into the nutrification of every plant and noticing the difference in like 88 different kinds of heirloom vegetables of different species and varieties that all need a different
season. A lot of different needs.
And I wanted to do that biodynamic farming to what the planets are saying and all this trippy dippy hippie stuff that people think is trippy hippy dippy was wrong well before there were hippies. Okay. And like people should listen to where the planets are and check in with that for their plants, for themselves. I don't know. You know, it's a thing, you know.
It's a thing. We've covered some of that. It humbles me. Moon cycles,
cosmological
things. Well, and it's, you know, like look at in recent news, there's going to be a big solar storm, and we're going to see like the northern lights in northern California. I think parts of Alabama will see the northern lights this weekend because
good reason to go to Alabama.
You have to pay attention to the heavenly bodies. You have to pay attention because we're all interconnected. That's part of it, and this is a garden planet. Well, that's what we're living in.
We're living in the living library, my friend.
Amen. And 88 unique organic varietals, that's powerful, rite of passage in a way.
I learned a lot. And yeah, I bet. At the same time, you know, our team, like, was trying to take on doing better work with cannabis. I'm like, this is perfect. I know exactly what I think about all this now. I can take all that knowledge of decades and lifetimes of mountain knowledge from, like, all the clampers and Vietnam vets and deadhead fam, old school timers.
Those are interesting kids, times.
Different generations of people that all said, this is the way I do it. And it's fucking badass and it's working for me.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say badass?
We can't say the F word. It's okay. It's all right. But badass is cool.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. We're
filter.
Hey, no. Hey, you're feeling it. And I want people to feel it because it's important. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know,
that was me, like,
that's powerful.
Growing young and through the woods and the mountains.
And the rite of passage with your farm, 5 acres.
Time, 215 hit, you know.
Tell me about 215.
Outdoor, and then everything's greenhouse and outdoor. And then we have more freedom to have all these greenhouses up north and then everywhere else.
In or California, here in south, yeah.
And here in town, you know. So, like, then you have a lot
infrastructure.
Great work. Good infrastructure, people that care, making infinite good products with great strains from their friends, their own, their families up north, whoever. People really got into the work, in my opinion, you know. And then, like, we had good, safe access at decent prices, self-regulated by ourselves, coming into the economy in a way where it was all working.
It was working.
It was working well.
Beautifully, actually. Yeah, thriving.
Everyone at every step of the industry of cannabis at that time, from the trimmer to the farmer, they were all buying new cars.
Better
used cars. They were providing more into the economy of Santa Cruz and to the greater economy than anything.
Think about Reggae on the River for years was the growers.
The festival scene. I mean, like,
it's powerful.
The clothing that gets bought at all the boutiques downtown in Santa Cruz, I can't even express to anyone in this city council or county or anything how much money of cannabis has been spent in this town by the people that live here and love it and work
traveling through
in the industry and just want to spend their money in good places in a good
how many farmers markets how supported
can you not do that
how many music venues supported yeah the cultural you know, lifeblood
renaissance of not just cannabis being done well, but art and culture and cannabis meeting with food and life in a beautiful way, and a little less stigma and a little less risk for the person doing it.
Amen. Yeah, magical time. I wish we could have continued that and just maybe implemented
it
a little
exists,
bit.
It still exists, man. There's still 215 and people that are only 215 gardens and 215 smokers. And
yeah, that's medical. True.
They're not true. Recreational. Like, I'm not sure I could consider myself a recreational smoker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if someone made
Dennis Perone, all use is medicinal use.
Does that mean that I'm restricted to only using my medicine in a recreational way? All this
I don't know if I'm a recreaser either. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I'm not going to get too existential.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because I try to be like beyond political. I try to just be a good human.
Just being beyond. Yeah, I'm with you, man.
I'm on the global human team win.
Amen.
Let's be love and light and stay here.
Yes. Come together. Well, that's how we started, right? Like this. You know, always learning to be the best version of ourselves. And one thing that's helped me, that helps all my guests, cannabis helps us come correct. And
one of the best plant medicines
with love, I've found. With love, coming with love. I mean, that's always like, that's what you need with raising children, with being a part of a music group, being a part of a crew. I mean, maybe that's a good segue. Anything. You need to come correct, come do the work the way it should be done, but in the same way with love. And
my best hope for Prop 64, when we were going to get some law and it became that one, was like, okay, this is the opportunity for everyone to grow their six plants and everyone gets to put their hands in.
That was
where I was setting the intentions. Like, everyone can do it. And those of us that are really doing it, they said, come out in the light. Let's do it. We'll go out in the light.
Let's make it real.
Let's make it real. Yeah. I'll make it work for you guys and we'll make it profitable for everybody.
Yeah, you've done pretty well. I mean,
as far as staying alive.
You're staying alive. That's doing well in this time.
It's hard right now.
It's hard to watch the...
It's a hard place.
Farmageddon right up north, too, because we started the show in 2015.
Oh, my gosh.
Bro. So pre-Prop 64, and I was covering a lot of the regenerative mom and pops.
Which is important.
So important. And that's when I learned about Rudolf Steiner and these biodynamics. And, you know, and a lot of those farmers have transitioned back to the roots of really good food, really good produce, harder to find heirlooms. And
beekeeping and medicinal honeys.
Yeah, kind of homestead. It's so beautiful. No, they're back into their roots, but unfortunately, the cannabis thing, they couldn't swing. Even like some of my favorite elders, like Swami and Nikki, and kind of just let it go. Like, okay. But, you know, they are growing the Prop 64. You know, they are adults growing their plants, and that's good at least.
There's a time and a place for everything, man.
Amen.
I feel like now it's like, look, I think what's happening now in this whole like declassification, whatever you want to call it, I mean, I see that maybe America's realized that it's missing its turn to come to the party when we helped start the party. And the whole globe is like, I love cannabis.
Yeah.
I love what it does for me, my grandma, my kids, these kids with seizures. There's a version of this plant medicine that is helping someone in a lot of ways, and one person in some ways. Who's to say it couldn't help everyone? I mean, have you tried it?
Yeah, there we go.
You know, and like, is it the only one? Like, I'm sitting here drinking my noni juice. This is great plant medicine
from the
ancient allies of the Hawaiians.
That's right.
Plant medicine in Texas are just as old, if not older, as the cannabis plant.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
The connection with plants and everyone and the living force thing, you know, like, when I take a breath and smoke my cannabis, because I am a cannabis smoker, I always have been.
Yeah, likewise. Me too.
When I take a breath, I'm taking a breath, you know, and I'm giving thanks and I'm bringing that in, and I know that what I'm bringing in is actually helping me be a better person by giving me the moment to take a breath and call that sacred. And I know that the plant medicine is giving me something that really does change my mind state for a better way for me.
Yeah.
And makes me look at the world in a better way for you.
Yeah.
To be a better me, to be here.
Yeah, that's right.
And like I'm just...
It's all we have is to be here together.
I'm a little different than most or something. You know? But like, you know, get to the real...
Likewise.
My brother and I, God rest his soul, he died younger than me when we were too young. And like, we were fighters, bro. We sparred. We fought. We'd go over the Rocky Mountains with my parents in the front car, and we're going to let them do it this time. For the rest. Oh, God. They're going to think they beat the shit out of our kids.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Each other.
Oh, boy.
You know, we were after it.
You were after it going hard.
Until we smoked cannabis together.
Oh, that's a cool story.
And we never fought again.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
And if it can turn like the deepest rolling, broiling relationship in my life that had been there like that forever into something peaceful for a while. Man, you know, that's a powerful thing.
It's a powerful metaphor, too, of what dreams can come.
Where are we at in the world? There's so much worse, so much what we call hatred. Like,
yeah.
I don't really think I hate anything, man.
No.
Why would I spend the energy to be in that vibration?
It hurts us ultimately. I mean, the person, that's a poison that you swallow voluntarily that is not going to ever heal.
I recommend plant medicine for that, whether that be cannabis or putting your hands in the dirt and planting your own plant medicine.
Yeah, there you go.
Plant medicine. You know,
well, those microbes, you know, there's biological intelligence. It'll get into you.
And guess what? It has to. That's what makes
your gut healthy.
Yeah. When you're a baby, you don't even have all the microbes in your digestive system.
We are of nature, not separate. Yes.
To get what you need in your biome to survive.
Wow. That's right. Yeah, we need to get connected to survive.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah, that's...
The plant does it for me, bro. So now
amen.
We try to do all the work we can and, like,
You guys are doing beautiful work. I've been...
Beautiful plants.
Yeah, very beautiful plants.
Find our friends that have the old ones that we forgot or thought are dead or gone or everyone wants to debate over. Go grow one and go, is it it? Is it still
is it the
remember?
Real? Is it the
is
real deal?
What it was when it was 30 years ago? Does it still give me the feels like that? Does it do that? And some of them do, and it brings me way back. And then other That's ones, cool. I'm like, did we really like that?
Yeah, sometimes it's like the memory and the time and the place that is not quite, it doesn't quite align
and
in these times.
And from back then to now... The kinds of cannabis you have available to you and we is it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Like we talk about the mom and pops are dying. There are so many people just like me or better than me man, woman groups. They're everywhere, and you know why you don't know about them? Because they're doing the work and their noses in the dirt.
That's true. I do think of that. I think no matter what.
I mean, I have a big team that loves cannabis just as much as I do.
Oh, well, you know, our mutual friend,
big team is
Russ
like
Pumba.
A few handfuls, you know, like that's a big team for me. You can only do what we're doing in small farm, small craft with a few hands that
truly
really
craft.
Love it enough and have the true communication, the real feeling to go to work every day for something that we're losing, my friend, the ability to translate the difference between value and finance and have the meat anywhere in reality for all of the global economy system.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. If I'm seeing what's going on in cannabis, apply it to the world.
Whoa. Yeah.
Like in our grandparents' generation, everything that had a value, it matched in finance and dollar value. Our dollar can't even stay valued.
Yeah, I know.
Neither can anybody else's.
It is very...
Quan or whatever. So, like, apply that. Mm. To anyone's thought forms out there in the world.
Yeah.
Where do value and finance meet? For me, they meet in love.
Yeah.
And quality inputs and quality outputs. And that's how I and my team decide to go to work every day.
Wow.
We're making a good thing happen.
Yeah, you are.
You know,
yeah, you are.
We want to. Because we choose to. We can all choose to go to work for something. Let's choose to go to work to save the world, not destroy it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, for the love of...
Whatever you want to do, go do it, man. Woman, everyone.
Everyone. Tell me about R&D and your process with your team.
Shoots.
I mean, because you guys... For you know, Robbie alone has been a librarian ever since I've known him. We used to do Kind Peoples on Sundays and play the Rasta music.
He started this podcast with you.
Yes, he did.
Or this talk
he show. Did. He podcast, did. Talk he did. The very first the one voice. At KSCO. At the very first KSCO broadcast, Robbie and I. Yeah.
God bless the man Robbie. I call him Star Lion because he points my way north.
Wow, give thanks.
You know, and he just keeps me firm on my mission, bro.
Yes, I that's well
that
said.
With
likewise.
All my heart and soul, I'm being, you know, Rob, like you said, he has a library like no others. You know why? Because we all trust Rob.
Wow.
We all trust Rob so much that everyone that loves cannabis to the fullest and they don't have room for all their plants and they keep going ahead and doing work, they go, Robbie.
I got something for you.
Can you hold this for me? I might need it back. Will you rock it? Will you hold it safe? And he would, and he could, and he did.
Wow.
You know, he did that really well while he had a nursery, the natives.
That's right.
Native Selections nursery. He's still Native Selections, but man, the county battle to get him to be able to stay in business and keep his farm was so difficult that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know,
I know.
It's a shame. God,
it is
R.I.P.
a shame. Yeah, R.I.P.
The big nursery that Rob was trying to keep in his county.
Yeah.
You know, that was
those...
a beautiful, beautiful garden that had everyone staying in it.
That's the thing.
Everybody's staying
in it. It was like
Now that was all that hold. We have is the things that he could break off to people that actually had the ability to hold them and trust and hold them, either their own or someone else's. And some of that got scattered, you know? Sure. It's hard, man.
It's hard. It's
to
so
think
hard.
About that. Because Robbie has had the best library of probably any one man I know that's... my age, or a lot of them that are even older, but there's some legends out there that got great libraries.
He's got some interesting things.
Jump into them.
Yeah.
Any of you are out there, come find us.
Yeah.
That's it.
but
thankfully, we got together in R&D doing our thing. Like, we've been doing it for a long time.
I know.
Got together with Brett from Growing Passion and me and
Jacob.
Nice. Doing a bunch of the pheno hunting stuff that he had in pocket with him and Burner. From the Cookies group.
Yeah, that's very interesting because, that's an interesting group to work with.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say we were considering ourselves working with them. We had some beans and we had a bro that's also
doing some work.
And
yeah.
We wanted to do the work and give it
do
back
the
to
work.
Find it, be able to rock it for our own benefit of trying something new because we were so in our own trip tunnel.
Yeah.
Really kind of in this one place with the the myriad of terpenes and flavors and cannabinoids and styles and strains, you know, we got really in this vein where it was like, it was good.
What vein was? Like, what terps are we talking? What flavors?
We were in that, like, gassy, sweet terp.
Gassy, sweet.
And it was when, like, it had been gelato.
That's right.
We were
trying
to find other things.
New things.
With gelato, and then we went really deep in that terp tunnel, I'll call it, you know.
I like the way you put that, because that's kind of like the whole community's been in a terp tunnel, I would say.
Yeah, it's very much just sweet now, isn't it?
It's very sweet, yeah. I feel like the fuel has a moment to come back.
I love fuel.
Me too.
I love all. I think there's
good gas.
Lots of flavors and feels and kinds of cannabis for everyone.
It's so candy-oriented. I want some more, like, interesting floral, interesting earth, interesting kind of rootsy Asamine, and I don't know, who knows, like,
well,
humanly.
There's a lot of things in there, and thank God Rob did what he did and backed a bunch of things up.
He did.
We helped in that transition. Move a lot of library things into a lineup that can help flesh out in the cookies lineup.
The killer.
Flesh out in other people's lineups so that we can still provide that, like, a lifetime of work, man.
And
everybody else
truly
interacted with for all those, like, probably 40 years in Canada.
Yeah.
Almost.
Big time.
Oh, my gosh, bro.
Dude, opened Kind People's, Khalil, because I was there in the beginning with Graham and Khalil, was saying, oh, this is Rob. I used to buy cuts from him when I was 19.
Well, I just feel so blessed that, like, when it came down to push comes to shove, he's like, he had to decide. This is what my life's work is, and this is the best of it. And then we all sat around with him, and okay, what are we going to do?
Whoa.
You know, and how are we
going to
do
it? Good for you guys.
You know, right in that time, all that pheno-hunting R&D work we were doing with Brett, like, kind of brought lots of people to our doors going, who are you and what are you doing? And we're also pheno-hunting Chris Compound stuff.
Oh, nice.
Because we go out in, like, an alien, Ted Alien Lab stuff, because we'll go out to shows and stuff and go, I like your work. You got beans. I want them. We'll go. We're not, like, going, give me your beans. We would go buy beans at shows. We'd go show
you buy the work.
We'd go find clones that we wanted from people.
But it's really and run them out.
Trust that you're getting a quality thing unless you trust
the relationship.
The relationship.
Yeah.
Or the brand or the person that's building that stuff. And
some vouching.
It's a lot easier to do that than I think it is now. It's harder. There's a lot of more people in the game.
There's a lot more people in the mix. And get some money.
Instead of a real life thing.
Yeah. It's so real work.
Now Rob's stuff is in a great lineup with Burner to, like, make some of the best hash on the planet.
Yeah.
I'm really ready to see that. Keep rocking in that way and make that happen. Like, we're
the beautiful phenos.
This is family support.
Well, I know you are. It's beautiful because I see R&D on Earth Rhythm right now. I mean, you guys are always looking at lighting.
We do a thing where we do keep pheno hunting through our genetics.
It's
Earth Rhythm. Fuego Family Farms has a great line of genetics that my partner Kelly from the olden days has bred a lot of things and done a lot of things. And we have a lot of friends from all the different communities of cannabis that gave the family lots of things to rock with, breed with over the decades, you know?
So, yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of just things that we can source from and pull from. And then you have, like, Brett, who has an incredible library and genetic ability for growing passion and
all growing the passion. Very
and
cool.
Making the lemonade and then joining forces with Burner. And then all these people that are out there and making good work happen and trying to get their brand recognition and have a good value on cannabis.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people trying to do it different ways to get cannabis to be a good thing.
Yeah. Amen.
And there's a lot of that that gets lost in translation and companies and regulations and all these things we have to check and balance. You know, it's getting really difficult just to remember we're growing a plant here. You know,
I like how you checked the conversation too. You were like earlier in the conversation, you're like, well, I'm in it for the plant.
Yeah,
like, because things get muddied quickly.
Yeah,
and there was that green rush moment. And there was that, like,
and I think we can,
we get caught in the sauce of the, we get greedy.
It's a
capitalist
place.
Prop 64 really pushed the capitalism part of our reality into the cannabis community in a way that Prop 215, like you articulately stated, it was about the medicine. It was about...
It still is.
And I mean, it is.
And
me,
to
too.
A lot of people.
Me too.
Of
truly.
World.
To the world.
Other countries.
That's where it is.
The
for the love of the plant.
At the medicinal values of it. They're not looking at who's trying to get one over on who or any of that. They're trying to figure out how to incorporate it in their system of health.
See,
I mean, geez.
Whoa. And what a important piece, and how timely is that in this information age? And we're becoming very disconnected from the earth and start to bring in plant medicine, like, with a full
Believe you me, I'm not the one doing this. The plant is doing
this. That's it. I've always felt that.
They want us to be connected to the earth again. Yeah. They want us back.
That's our role. We're here to steward.
We're not supposed to be stepping on top of the earth. We're supposed to be walking
one with it. And grow it. And bring diversity, bring life.
Yes.
Yeah, and continue to create creators.
In our grandparents' generation, people were growing hemp for the war, and you had a victory garden.
That's right, hemp for victory.
You had
victory garden,
a victory garden. That's it. You were supposed to grow food and do all these things. And what happened in COVID? They said, don't grow a garden in your front yard.
So weird. What Such a disconnect. That's Babylon.
What happened here?
Yeah, that's disconnect.
Before, everyone grew food in their front yard, so there was enough food for everybody. And you don't grow food?
No, we have to grow food.
I'm confused now.
Yeah, we have to grow all the plants, all the diversity to support the greater good, which is not just people. It's the pollinators, the whole ecosystem.
So that's what we're doing in the R&D. Like, we're doing craft patchwork where we can go forward. And we can stay where we are, and we can look back with whatever's left. I mean, we popped one of Rob's seeds that was, like, I think, close to 20 years old.
How'd you do it?
The same way we always do. We put a wet paper towel together and make sure it was moist. So we look for the tail, and we put it in the dirt.
Love it, dude.
I mean, what are you supposed to do?
That's all I know.
Did we have to reinvent the wheel on how to do a pot seed, man? Like,
that's amazing.
Some people don't even do that. People are going to laugh at me and say, like, that's not the way you do it.
That's all I've ever done.
You can put it in water. You can put it right in the dirt. And you can scratch the surface of it. You can put it in your freezer. I've learned a lot from just food farming. There are certain seeds like Nigella, Love of the Mist, one of my favorite flowers. You want to scuff that seed. Because otherwise it's probably not going to germinate. I love that flower, man.
Wow.
And I went deep on learning, why does this seed not germinate for me? And guess what?
Figured
it out long before me.
Each one teach one.
But before that, how did anyone get all this plant medicine, man? I've thought about that for a long time. And then I sit and I look at nature, and I watch what the insects and the birds and the animals do around the plants, and you can see there is an already very ordered situation going on here in nature. And we can choose to be a part of it or not, you know?
Yeah.
And I've sat with old plant medicine people, like some of these people on the island that do like good
Maui, that's my family out there.
This one is a product that used to be on Maui, but this is Big Island.
Oh, it's Big Island. So I just saw the Maui Noni.
Fam. Yeah. Uncle Herb and all my friends out there.
Oh, big ups.
Doing the good works to bring a bunch of different plant medicines to people, you know, not cannabis.
Oh, no. They have
things that heal. Imagine that.
Yeah.
There's all these healing
Food as medicine. What a concept.
That's what I'm saying. Let's get to plant medicine. My broccoli, I got to figure out. That's one of my vegetables I'm not good at eating. What is the medicine I'm not willing to accept there that's in broccoli when I know it's good for me?
It's good.
And it's one of those things that I need more of that kind of vegetable.
Amen.
And my mineral needs.
I'm learning that as a papa to get the 2-year-old to take that good medicine and not just all that cheese.
As we normalize all plant medicine, this cannabis law regulatory thing, I think it kind of washes away, doesn't it?
I think it's a consciousness shift, and we've already had a bit of a shift, and we're going to have more, obviously.
In the industry of finance and cannabis, this is a farce right now.
It's a farce.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Definitely.
It's not meant to be.
We'll awake from it.
We will move through this.
Yeah.
This too shall pass.
Amen. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. Bring it back to the deer. Yeah. Well, that's like everything. That's Shakespeare. Yeah. It's beautiful. No, that's life. I think you're right. And it gives me...
You're right.
I think we all got this. We need each other. We need the cannabis.
We need
that cannabis connection. Yeah.
To have the connection.
That's it.
To have the relationship.
Yeah, it's true. And rekindle.
To cultivate something.
Mm.
To get reach to fruition with it and call it good and then share it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the peace through cultivation and... The giving away, like, that's what I do truly feel drawn to and have always felt drawn to is the giving of cannabis is almost as enjoyable and fulfilling as the imbibing of the medicine and the cultivating and that pheno hunt, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm really shocked about what we're doing because it is alchemy, bro. It's like, you can't really talk about the magic too much, or is it really happening?
I know. Like, I hear you.
Careful.
You know, I hear
those
you.
Realms, you know, but the reality is like Jacob and Earth Rhythm Team and Fuego Family Farms and all the different groups of people that were carrying on the lineage for. My gosh, bro, there's so many phenomenal people. And then you put Robbie and Nate Selections and Brett and Burner and Cookies. There's a world.
It's a really cool thing. Yeah.
And like from the top down and inside and out. We're all trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Each person has a role.
The biggest cannabis company on the planet.
They're trying to figure out
how to get good quality through their inefficient system as best and quickly as possible, where it is a win for everyone. From us all the way to the person that's popping that and stoked about it.
It's making me...
It's so hard, bro.
I think it is hard.
It's so hard, man.
Oh, I know. I actually, through another show, a new project, we try to pair... You should come on. It's called Pot for Two, and we pair a tea or a coffee with flour.
Yeah.
And then we have like a review and talk. Yeah. And it's a pairing show. But I've been... Through that project, I've been going to the shops and buying, just, you know, getting, because I only smoke what I grow, typically.
Understood.
And now I'm going to spot checking Three Bros. And what do you guys
got? I've done all that, because when we were coming into the industry, we were a little
see
behind
what's good.
Everyone else that was already in town doing it well in the rec market. It took us a while to get all the licensing and all the through all the permitting, and then be able to cultivate and then actually have a product.
Get back to work, yeah.
You know, like, we started that well before 2018 at Earth Rhythm, and it took until, like, I don't think 2019 and a half.
Took a while.
It only takes about, you know, depending on when you start, and if I had clones someone gave me.
Yeah.
Or, like, what are we talking about? Like, 2 to 6 months to have a crop,
but it
took me a year and a half.
Wow. So, well, and that's part of this compliance thing, yeah. The team. But, like, what I will say is, you know, to get excited from something I buy at a shop, I still have yet to get excited.
So, are you, I have questions for you now, because I go in there too. Like, are you finding quality products that are, regardless of the packaging and the price, are you finding quality product that you can enjoy and that feels good and feels like medicine to you?
I found one. It's this, it's been tricky. I found one farm that I like, and it's been exciting.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And it is a sun grown product. Yeah.
Yes. Most of the ones that I enjoy versus what I grow, everybody are sun grown products, you know, or concentrates.
Yeah.
And those concentrates are usually sun grown products, and they're usually organic, vital, organic brands, vital supply nutrients.
Oh, I love vital.
Fam all day. We are all in this together.
Yeah.
And we're all, like, there's a lot of great people on every team
that's trying to
get good things going. Vital Supply and Organic Brian are a good homie. He's a homie for success, and he's only after it for the earth winds. If you get in the garden and use it and choose a good product,
wow,
you know, it's not about him or selling his products necessarily. He's on a life mission.
I've seen him for years.
Make the world a better place and find a way to exist and
teaching
help
people
your family exist by being a good person and bringing something of quality to get you back in the earth. You
know? Amen. Yeah, that's righteous. That's what's up.
And
that's
Robbie,
important. Yeah.
And my brother Jacob, like, so much younger than me, but so much older and wiser than me.
Gosh, whoa.
There are so many good people that have made me be in this blessed place to be able to share this time and space right now with you.
I know.
And go, wow, look at the wealth of information at our fingertips. And I'm just
so much.
A little peon, a little scratch of the surface the things that are going on in this R&D of cannabis of the world that's about to hit, hopefully, the best time it's ever had at really defining some better things.
I agree.
I think doing
the Lord's work of what you're doing with phenos and the running of the pheno hunts, the running of things, the R&D, even your stuff.
We're protecting, collecting, selecting, and then getting back to the real work.
That's educational right there. Protecting, selecting, and getting back. That's powerful. That's well said, man.
We're collecting too.
Yeah,
not
collecting.
Just ours, you know, like,
I see.
So many things we killed because of testing. You know, we killed all the great purples because they didn't test above 15-16%.
You think they're gone for real?
A lot of people are. We're searching Robbie's libraries of seeds just to find the things that used to be Urkel and GDP and Grape Ape and things. We all remember what they're like, but to find the ones that everyone killed because they couldn't make money with them because they didn't
test.
Market wouldn't buy them. Here's what I'm going to say.
Please, help me out, man.
My future.
Drop it.
Forward. Let's go sci-fi on you. So we're testing all these THC, A, and C, and we're only up to, I don't know what, one, V?
Yeah.
So
I bet you those purples that everyone's going, no, 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 those aren't potent. But we all knew how potent they were because we couldn't move. Like, you would drop you in the dirt, right? You know, and everyone's like, oh, where's that old purple that used to drop me in the dirt? And like, and everyone's like, oh, well, we killed them because they're 12 and 13, 14% because we were testing them. That's when testing came out. That's why they're gone. Because no one will buy them from us or our friends or their friends or anybody.
They tasted so good, though.
And so what are you going to do when you're the farmer and no one buys your produce? You're going to switch your crop.
Yeah.
So we
have
to switch our crop. You know, so those things are mostly gone. Sorry, folks, you know, but everyone says they got the one. Please show me. I want to grow one. Yeah. I love them. I've got a couple of my homies have brought me that. I'll see if they're the one. I hope I got some.
Oh, so it's working right now.
All the time, bro. All the time. From like someone's old seed, we'll find someone hybridized something, but in there is the old mom, grandma,
like a pheno.
You can find it if you search through enough, or someone maybe has
it in their closet
or wherever it is.
Yeah, like in an old film canister or something.
But I guarantee you, once we get to this more testing, you'll find this thing where all those ones off the Richter on something else we haven't even tested for.
That's what's up.
So who are we as humans and all our science to go? We figured it all out. We haven't found all the cannabinoids.
No, we don't know. Or the ensemble effects, entourage effects, all that turp. Yeah.
I like the whole ting ting.
Ting ting. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Take it to Nancy. Holistic. Get the bomb bomb. What the bomb bomb? The whole ting ting.
Amen. Yeah, that's. I know. I can't wait, man. I'm so glad you guys are doing the work. It gives me excitement for the future of these other groups that you're doing the work for too. That's powerful. You're doing some really powerful medicine work because it's keeping Santa Cruz alive. Like with your crews, Fuego Family Farms, Earth Rhythm. Native selections,
growing passion.
Like,
all these other people.
I'm learning.
Like the three bros are our homies. Every time Tyler has a problem, I'm like, hey, you want to come talk about? But we're all too busy to get together. We're all
cannabis messes and lives and families.
We have kids and stuff. We're running businesses.
I've been trying to get Tyler on the other project too. Yeah, it's tricky. You know,
like, everyone out there that has existed and doesn't exist anymore is trying to still exist is a champion in their own right for even trying to
some
be
work.
In this space.
Yeah.
Even doing some work in this and taking it on because it's important.
Yeah.
That we don't lose track of what real cannabis is versus this more cardboard cutter, smells good, looks good, pretendica. Like, you get it off, but it's not real. Has no backbone. It's been the truth has been bred out of it, or there's no love in it. I don't know. Maybe both.
Yeah.
There's no judgment there. It's just
there's no judgment.
I know what cannabis is.
Yeah, we know.
I know at this point. We know. There's a lot of
people that know. And that's the beautiful thing about this community too. It's not like other. It's not like a commodity. It has a true spiritual, medicinal, inspirational, and community like history, especially in this community.
But if we can't go in one of our stores and hit home runs on the products there. You know?
I feel you. Yeah,
it's
we
hard,
still have
man.
To work within some
we
confines.
You asked how are we going to get there? We need to educate. We had an educated consumer mass back then.
Mm.
And we don't have that anymore. We have the whole world's our consumer, but nobody knows what's up.
They need to learn.
They need to learn.
They need
here
to
we
learn.
Are sharing and caring and giving and supporting and living it.
Stewarding them.
And somehow, I don't know. We're the threat. We're just stony hippies, I guess. I don't know. Don't take me too seriously.
I know you guys have a lot of love. I have homies that would come for me for flowers, and then they were like, have you heard of Fuego Family Farms? Have you heard of Earth Rhythm?
I've heard of them. Hundreds of years of botanical experience in our crew, if you add it all up.
It's beautiful.
You know, and then think about the people that taught me or us and each one of us.
Yeah.
You're talking about thousands of years
of
cannabis learning that is consolidated into a few human beings.
Ongoing. And you guys are doing the work right now?
Robbie, just in his genetic library, found purple hash. Is there any other
purple hash?
I don't want to start any arguments in the world. But
I know. We've been very diplomatic thus far.
Thousands of years, there's been hash. There's been, like, I remember blonde hash, Moroccan hash, Afghan hash, gold stamp hash.
Gold stamp,
stuff with the opiate, the gold stamp. All those things. We can go sift it.
You have the purple sands.
There's purple sand hash. Now. I really haven't seen that before, y'all. Something that really has
I haven't.
Trichome
that retains that.
Where it goes all the way up into the jelly pocket of the trichome. Like, there are some, but to actually have it turn out purple in full melt hash. And then be able to burn it and vaporize it and put that in your lungs and give thanks for it. I really haven't seen that many. Maybe I've seen some pink ones and some rose ones, but I'm gonna go deeper and just say, there's got to be more in some different colors.
Yes.
Did we keep looking, fam?
Yes, let's keep looking.
Why are we going to get into an argument or confusion of like, was he the first one? Are we trying to go to the moon again here? I'm just trying to be with my plant, y'all. Have a good time here and share it with
you.
Oh, y'all.
My gosh. The show ended at, are we trying to go to the moon here? That was it, Donna. Give thanks, Rasta. Yes, I.
Way to go.
Love it, man. We got it on the video, too. Are we trying to go to the moon? That was such a great ending. I didn't want to stop you because I was like, good. Oh, the clock is coming down. No, but
it's fine.
Are we trying to go to the moon here?
I said that because one of our gardeners is on the moon conspiracy again, and I have to think about it. And if he
gets
to hear that,
then we're back. Well, I'll give you the recording when I get home. Yeah. That's so good, man. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, give thanks, man. That was...